Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning to Tim Green. How's it going, mate?
Morena, Johnny. Very well, thank you, mate.
Out there on the sunny Pūtikawa coast. Now, this morning, mate, we're going to start off our political commentary with the big news of the day yesterday. The government has rushed through major changes to New Zealand's pay equity laws. They've scrapped 33 existing claims and are tightening the criteria for new ones, which is potentially affecting somewhere in the order of 95,000 to 150,000 workers, many in female-dominated, undervalued professions like teaching. Axe Brooke Van Velden has led the overhaul, claiming it will prevent bogus claims and save the government billions, which in turn helps Finance Minister Nicola Willis balance a very tight budget. Critics, including unions and opposition parties, say the move undermines years of progress towards fair pay for women and was pushed through without consultation or scrutiny, prioritising fiscal savings over equity. So in a nutshell, for anyone out there that hasn't been following politics closely, in the last year or so, the government has given tax cuts to tobacco companies, tax cuts for landlords, and is about to spend up big on our military. This has led the government to be short of money to make their budget work. Rather than taxing capital gains, the ultra-wealthy, big international business and tobacco companies, they are taking the money off the already underpaid, predominantly female, teachers, nurses, and elder care workers. Tim, what does the government's decision about this signal about its broader priorities?
Johnny, there's not a lot wrong in your summary of where things are. It's, this exercise now in the pay equity changes is pretty disgraceful, really. This, just to clarify what pay equity is as opposed to pay equality. Pay equality is if a male and female are doing the same job, they should get the same wages or the same pay. Pay equity is based around the fact that people do different jobs, but they can be of equal value.
Yes.
And so, and then how to value what somebody does against a wage scale is difficult. It takes a lot of comparisons. These claims take years to work up. In 2020, the government changed, of the time, the Labor government changed the rules to allow for this larger pay equity claims to be made. And it was fully supported by the National Party at the time. And all of the National Party MPs, including Nicola Willis, stood up and said how wonderful this piece of legislation was. And now we find that overnight, or in the space of 2 days, under urgency in Parliament, this has been scrapped. And the process itself has been pretty shoddy.
How does fast-tracking these changes reflect on the government's commitment to transparency and consultation?
It's kind of ironic that the changes were introduced by Brooke Van Velden, who's also been very hard on the workplace changes over the last year and a half, and the ACT Party itself have been very strong on changes to the workplace situation. And so this looks like another... somebody described it to me as punching down. The government, again, is taking the axe to the conditions that some of our lower-paid workers might be under, and it looks a lot like they are doing it, Johnny, to prop up the budget in a couple of weeks' time. In fact, while this was going through, David Seymour was doing a lap of honour outside of the House saying that Brooke Van Velden had saved the budget for National. It was going to save them billions of dollars. But there's a real risk in this for National as well, because, you know, with the timing, the urgency, no consultation, there's a whiff around this whole process that says there's something wrong. The risk for National really is that the majority of people who have pay equity claims being considered now are women.
Yes.
And they're lower paid women. And, currently, at the moment, there is a bit of a skew. Older women, 50-plus, do support the government. The latest poll has come out. Women under 50 don't support the government. They're more inclined to go with the opposition parties. And, they're now left with a situation where, okay, take it or leave it. Here we have it. And you've got to go with this. There's no chance to change it. There's no select committee. There's no chance for public consultation. And all of these claims, Johnny, now have to go back to the start. 33 were in process. They've now been abandoned. Some of these have taken years and years to work up. And they've also changed the rules. They've said that instead of a workplace being 60% dominated by females and therefore having a reason to claim that there might be some underpay, they've now boosted that up to 70% of workplaces have to be female dominated, and 70% of the workers have to be female for the claim to be valid, and it has to have been that situation for 10 years. I mean, take an organisation like the PPTA, teachers, secondary school teachers, 68% women. So they're not able to put in any sort of pay equity claim in the future. So, yeah, really, and these are people who are hospice workers looking after our grandmothers. They're care workers, early childhood education workers. Yeah, it all smells a lot like punching down to me, John.
Why do you think the government is not choosing to explore revenue options like capital gains tax or taxing the ultra-wealthy? And what might be the long-term social and economic consequences of sidelining pay equity efforts for budgetary reasons?
Well, the longer-term implications are that these groups, large groups, hundreds of thousands of people potentially in the country, are going to be stuck on these lower wages and with less pathways for them to be able to increase those, Johnny. But, you know, the other revenue options, they're off the table with this coalition government at the moment. They do not want to see, in fact, you know, quite the opposite. You know, we've seen tax incentives, tax breaks for the more wealthy people in the country. We've seen tax breaks for landlords across the country, which probably do sit amongst the wealthier group of people in the country. So, yeah, there's no other revenue streams being explored at the moment, Johnny. Although, you know, we've got a budget coming up in 2 weeks' time. There may be some other methods they might look at. You know, there's GST changes. There's changes potentially to the KiwiSaver regime where the government put in $502 if you put $1,000 in over the year to your Kiwi saving account. So there are other options, but I don't see them being dived into deeply. I think that this $1.6, $1.8 billion that they're going to be saving from the pay equity claims is going to go a long way towards shoring up the numbers for the budget in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. What key signals or priorities do you expect to see in this year's budget, given the current economic climate and the current sort of government priorities?
Well, I mean, as we just touched on, Johnny, there's not a lot of money. This government has, Nicola Willis, the finance minister, signaled there's no spare cash around. In fact, the first $600 million out of this budget was taken last year when the government had to borrow from this year's budget to pay for the cancer drugs it promised during the election run-up. So it's already reduced the amount of money that they can spend. And, I mean, it's really signalling to all of the government departments that there is no more money, you've got what you've got, and we can also expect probably an even greater tightening, more savings to be required from the public service, which means more people put out of work, more services cut back. Yeah, we're heading into a fairly slow period of time. Yeah, the government's got a lot of decisions to make, Johnny. You know, the population is increasing, it's ageing. Our infrastructure is shot, and now, as you've been talking to Judith Collins, we've got many billions of dollars to find to re-gear up the defence industry. And,
yes.
And so, as I say, the only way we're going to be doing this is by cutting back on more spending by the government, perhaps at a time when people believe the government should be spending money to stimulate the economy. But instead, we're going down the austerity pathway, you know, which always seems to lead to some pretty negative outcomes. You
yes.
know, economies generally shrink, unemployment rises, public services drop away, and ultimately it leads to a fair degree of social unrest. And we've seen this in the UK with about a decade of austerity governments under the Conservatives over there. They're not in great shape at all. So, yeah, we're looking at an austerity period ahead, and somehow it's You know, they really do have some problems facing up to, Johnny. With health is huge. You know, as you say, we've got the defence spending to cover off, and we've got the tax breaks that we've booked last year for landlords and for the upper end of the pay scale.
Tim, I've got one last question for you this morning. What do you think, what would you say are the political risks and opportunities for the government and how it presents and delivers this budget to the public?
The government will have to try and tell us that they know what they're doing, that they have a plan, and that this budget is reflective of the pathway towards where they're going. At the moment, we don't seem to be growing at all. Johnny, the economy, we're stalled. Unemployment is up. The amount of work people are doing is down. Yeah, we really, they have to show that they're in control. But unfortunately, if they're showing that they're in control by taking money from other pots, such as that from the pay equity pot over there, then probably they're not that much in control and they're looking like they're flailing around kind of desperately.
One more. Do you see any risk of public backlash in the context of yesterday's announcement on pay equity laws, especially among women voters and those that work in the care sectors?
I don't see us turning out on the streets as the public did around the Treaty Principles legislation a few months ago, Johnny. I think that these guys have picked their target.
Yeah.
They've picked somebody to punch down on who they're pretty confident isn't going to punch back too hard on them. So the ramifications of this It will give the opposition party something to chip away at.
Yes.
It will take away a lot of the confidence that the people have that they're able to manipulate rules and laws and flout rules that they've put into place so quickly. So it'll take away a bit of their confidence. But I'm also pretty sure that they're going to steam on regardless, and that we'll all be told how good it is for us. And as they've been saying for the last 2 days, how good this is for the women of New Zealand.
All right. Tim Green, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning for a little bit of political commentary. We'll look forward to catching up in a few weeks' time.
Thank you, Johnny.
Cheers, mate.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.